We say namaste.
Namaste.
Light within me greets the light within you. Namaste. I invite you to turn to somebody close to you and say namaste.
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 Well, Joey, a 5-year-old, was asked to say grace at the family dinner one night. And he promptly declared, "Thank you, God, for these wonderful pancakes." This really puzzled his parents. So they ask, "Why did you thank God for pancakes when we're having chicken?" And Joey smiled and said, "I thought I'd see if God was paying attention." And then there was Johnny, who had been misbehaving, and he was sent off to his room. And after some time, he emerged and informed his mother he thought about it over, and he said a prayer. His mother was so pleased to hear this and replied, "Well, you know, if you ask God to help you with your behavior so that you'll be good, God will help you." And Johnny smiled and said, "Oh, I didn't ask God to help me be good. I asked God to help you put up with me." Oh my gosh, right? Well, we're going to say our affirmation, and in your bulletin, there's a little card, unless Vicky went in there and typed really fast, that has the affirmation on it. So here we go, together. "I am aware that I am living between two worlds, and I am at home in my soul." Again, "I am aware that I am living between two worlds, and I am at home in my soul." In her book, Myrtle Fillmore's Healing Letters, Myrtle wrote, "If a person would be healed and would keep getting younger and younger and more vigorous and ready for what times demand of us, he must wake up and get out of the rut and change his habits and appropriate the life elements in food, in sunshine, and prove that he is awake. Concentrate all of his attention upon God, becoming aware that God's presence and spirit is a perfect pattern of life and the qualities. And he will forget all errors and dissolve the conditions he finds himself has built up. He must prove here and now that God is in the midst of us as a great, steady stream of renewing, cleansing, revitalizing life, and we can open up the channels of its flow and draw from this source." Wow, right. Really powerful words, right? From a lady who lived almost 100 years ago, right? And she healed herself of an incurable disease. Powerful thoughts. Yes, there are times when we find life so challenging. Anybody ever find life challenging? No? Yeah? Yeah? And we're left in this state of feeling lack, limitation. We feel as if we have been cast out into the sea, feeling adrift and helpless. We think there is no way out of the situation, no way to realize our dreams, to experience the happiness that we deeply desire. But it's in those precise moments we have to stop and re-examine the situation and adjust our thinking to our true reality, the one that Myrtle Fillmore talked so much about. That we are surrounded by the sea. By this sea of living energy. It flows in and through us in each moment. And that this living energy field is actually responsive to our every thought. Yeah. We are enfolded in a realm of infinite possibilities. It surrounds and enfolds us in all that we do. Wow. Once upon a time, there was this really old caterpillar that complained his way through life. You can't really blame him because his vision and his perception of life was so low that he could only see things from a limited vantage point, crawling in the dirt of life. Anybody felt like they were a caterpillar crawling in the dirt of life? Now, come on, John. Everybody always listens to you. Curious, right? Well, he read his caterpillar Bible that he could become greater than he was and do great things, right? One day, he might even learn to fly. Yes. This was hard for him to conceive. After all, he was just a lowly, fuzzy worm of the earth. And crawling along, he moved around all the obstacles, which is what he had learned to do. Life was hard and dangerous. How else could he have labeled it, right? How small and unworthy he seemed as he inched along. And yet, he felt something encoded in him that tugged at his heart. If caterpillars have a heart, that is, right? He felt this urge, that a longing that he could be more than what he seemed to be. He didn't understand it, but he didn't fight it either, and he just followed his spirit's prompting. He let go of his worries and concerns and his beliefs in what limited it and built a cocoon to rest in and renew his weary feet. While he rested, he dreamed of greater things, and a change took place. It was a magnificent change. He could feel it taking place throughout his entire being. Although he didn't quite know what it was until he stood up to break free of his resting place. He stretched out his wings. Yeah, to his surprise, his caterpillar had wings, which he reached out and he began to fly. What a marvelous feeling, taking flight and not having to worry and fret about all those little obstacles down there and other things which he believed limited him. He was so attached to the beliefs that he was a lowly, crawling, fuzzy worm of the dust that he couldn't conceive of how his life would be different. Once he let go of all of that, all that he believed limited him, once he let go of all that, he moved through his time a transformation. Can you conceive of how different your life might be if you would be able to let go of all the beliefs, all those beliefs that restrict and bind you to your troubles? You know, like that saying, life is hard, then you die. Oh, am I old? Right? Or I'm just here to suffer, and I'm doing such a good job of doing it. Right? Or how about that one, oh, that guy, he's out to get me. And there's so many more of those wonderful sayings that we have. We tend to become attached to the beliefs that limit and restrict us in so many ways. Just like that lowly caterpillar. Can you conceive of how different your life might be if you were able to let go of such beliefs so that you could move through your time of transformation? You see, there comes a point in life, as Joel Goldsmith points out in his book, Living Between Two Worlds, that we become aware we are living between two worlds. One focused on the material realm and things and the rantings of our mortal mind and its perceived power and control, and another perception, one idea that is focused on this invisible living energy, a realm of infinite possibilities that lies just beyond the sight of our mortal eyes. You know, anybody hear that Jesus guy before? That Jesus guy? He actually talked about it often. Once in Mark 4, he said, focusing on the cares of the physical world and the lure of wealth and the desires of physical things chokes out the creative energy of life, and it yields nothing. Then in John, during the Last Supper, he says to the disciples, if you belong to the world would love you as its own. But you do not belong to the world. And then in a time of prayer, connecting with the infinite force of all life, he says, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And the I am is coming to you. Sacred presence, will you protect them? They do not belong to the world. Help them to realize your presence. You know, J.C., he taught 40 parables about heaven, right? Not as an afterlife experience, but something that is supposed to be right here, right now. And it seems like to me that he really got frustrated because the people that he was talking to, even his closest friends, the disciples, they didn't get it. Right? Well, there is a place in you. Yeah. Take your finger, go like this. There is a place in you, right? You can experience two worlds. It's a place deep within you. Your home is a place you dwell. Metaphysically, it is the place you consciously dwell. And if you are not conscious of this dwelling place in you, well, all I can say is that your life is really, probably really, really, really hard. As we move through our daily life, if we're open, we'll catch glimpses of heaven's presence. That glimpse will widen our awareness, and then it will simply just seem to disappear. But with each experience, we realize we grow more fully into an awareness of Spirit's presence, into an awareness of this living energy. And then it's gone again, and then we get ready for it to unfold once more. And you know, if the people around us don't grow with us, we subconsciously begin to distance ourselves from them and from us, not really understanding what is going on because we are catching two different glimpses of this realm of infinite possibilities that we live in. Yet all of our life, we have been taught that there is only one, that we are just two-dimensional creatures living in a two-dimensional reality. I hope you're catching my idea, although we're all at least three-dimensional beings, right? Oh, unless we live up there in the television screen. Is life supposed to be like that? Well, yes, but no, from time to time. You see, spiritually, it has highs and lows. It has ebbs and flows. The spiritual path is the day-to-day process of becoming awake and aware of this moment now and how we are relating to it. At times, we may feel charged up and feeling this living energy flowing through us, and then a few minutes later, we feel completely disconnected. As we move through life, we are often unaware that the vantage point through which we view our circumstances is restricted. We don't know that we don't know that that there is a different way to see and approach every challenge. It seems to be okay. I did it again. It seems to be right before our eyes, and we confront every turn. The events of our past, both good and bad, have conditioned us to look at life as if we're wearing blinders. Just like that caterpillar. Perception was limited by being so close to the ground. However, like that caterpillar, there will come a time when something within us is calling us up higher. An inner prompting tugging at our soul until we hear and awaken to its presence. So, I want to read to you a verse from Genesis 1. We're kind of sort of talking about it on Wednesday night. At first, it will make absolutely no sense at all. But then maybe you'll understand why we're going through all that stuff that we're going through. Because life don't make any sense at all sometimes. Here it is. And then God said, "Let there be lights in the dome to separate the day from the night. And let there be signs and for the seasons. And let there be lights in the dome to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, and the great light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And God set them in the dome to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And then there was evening and morning, the fourth day. Yeah, the fourth day. Right. You know, back in time, before Galileo and Columbus, when Western culture believed the earth was flat, had four corners, right? And that there was this dome in the sky, this physical God that there was lived on the other side of that dome. And God put holes in the dome to let sunlight and rain come down. And this particular verse is where God made the sun and the moon and placed them in the dome, and that there would be morning and night, and this is supposed to happen on the fourth day. Yeah, this is supposed to be the literal truth, right? And if you didn't believe this literal truth, let's say you would be in a whole heap of trouble, just like Galileo, Columbus, and Leonardo da Vinci. Right? Metaphysically, our creative process yours, and mine is outlined in Genesis 1. The first two steps are the most important. To activate your awareness, the first step is that when chaos is going on in your life, anybody have any chaos? No. Whenever there's chaos going on, we're not supposed to try to beat it down, make it go away, deny that it's there. You're not supposed to do that. What we're supposed to do is to step into the center of the void and feel the tensions that's being created in the void. To feel the swirling winds going on around you and center yourself within it. Feel the tensions within you, within the swirling winds of life. What are they trying to tell you? How is it making you feel? Right? Step two. Step into the dome of creativity, which is what Jesus called the hallowed place within you. A place you literally carve out in your heart, in your mind. Psalms 91 says, calls it the shelter of the Most High, which is a place of aligning yourself within the divine. Moving into what Jesus called the secret place. Where you can know and feel the divine, the source of all life. You got that one? Okay, third step is when you do this with practice, after you come out of this sacred feeling, you begin to feel the sea of life all around you, the sea of infinite possibilities, this living energy. You begin to see and feel its presence all around you. And dry land. Dry land is divine ideas coming forth. The divine ideas are being shaped and formed in your mind. Many solid forms will come forth from the sea of infinite possibilities. Just let them be in you. Let yourself be in them in that moment. Now step four, or should I say day four, right? Day four, even though there isn't any day in any sun or moon yet, right? On day four, the greater light in the sky is divine inspiration coming forth. Right? Divine inspiration coming forth. As we allow that creative process to unfold, the vision we are holding stirs in our mind, in our heart, and through spiritual understanding, which is the greater light, spiritual understanding. And we realize the value these ideas have to us. Then we will be able to discern whether or not to invest in them and how we might invest any more creative energy to them in that particular thought or idea. We can say to ourselves, I understand what this idea is all about. I know what is going on here. Anybody say that? You moving that and say, I know what's going on here. Am I willing to go forth with it? Or am I going to release it and let it go? Am I going with it? Or am I going to release it and let it go? When you're immersed in the creative process and your imagination is going full force, ask yourself, do I understand the outworkings of this vision? Am I willing to go all the way with God to see it through? Or do I want to let it go? So now, what about that darkness and the lesser light in the sky? Well, after much study and thought on our metaphysical teachings, the darkness and the night are times when we have disconnected ourselves from the divine and gone off to live in the land of Nod. Everybody knows what not is, right? We've chosen to go live in the land of afflictions. That's what the word not means. Who wants to go live there? Stop it, Joe. Right? We are living in an awareness of this physical dimension in this place with no awareness that there's anything more than those two dimensions of our reality, which is what we were all taught existed. This is the way it is, and we just have to believe it because I know it all. You know, it's just the way it is. You are a physical being, and if you cut yourself, blood will come pouring out, and that blood is an evil entity. That's what science taught up until about 100 years ago. And then you have to go off and be quarantined because of it. Right? Living in the darkness, not allowing yourself to question your belief or step beyond the attachments that you have to those beliefs and to this physical reality. Curiously, in Jewish mysticism, Jericho, the word Jericho meant by the moon's light. Now, how many of you know that the moon has its own light? Right, right. They knew that back then, that the moon had no light. And so the word metaphysically means place of illusions. Right? Because the mystics all knew the moon didn't have no light. It was simply a reflection of what they wanted to see. So here we are again. Back to Joel Goldsmith and Jesus with this idea that we're living between these two worlds. One world which is driven by the dictates and the demands of the physical world and the ideas that you should not question what the authorities say is true. The law is the law. That's just the way it is. And we truly believe this is the only reality. We have to engage the power. We have to engage the power of faith to see beyond the physicals, the appearances of the physical world in all that we have learned. And we have to begin to see through the eyes, the I am of spirit, letting go of our senses and our beliefs in duality. And that takes a lot of work. How can you do this and say, I don't have a body, but rather I am the body? Simple but huge step. We have to let go of all that we learned and just be aware of Spirit's presence, this living energy, and allow it to guide us. Allow the light of spiritual understanding to guide the way. What if we truly knew that what we need the most is right there before our eyes all the time? If only we had the eyes and the ears to hear. Isn't that what Jesus said? That the kingdom of heaven is right here in our midst. And then we'll have to learn how to say, I am aware that I am living between two worlds and I am at home in my soul. Together, I am aware that I am living between two worlds and I am at home in my soul. One more time. I am aware that I am living between two worlds and I am at home in my soul. I invite you.